Chapter 10. The Last of the Tabak. Rodolai Taralda puffed quietly on his pipe, smoke curling from it like the sinuous coils of a snake. The smoke tendrils wrapped around themselves, pooling at the ceiling above him, then leaking out through cracks in the roof of the ramshackle shed. The boards in the walls were warped from age, opening slits to the outside, and the gray wood was cracked and splintering. A brazier burned in the corner, and winds whistled through the cracks in the walls. Itaralda faintly worried those winds would blow over the entire building. He sat on a stool, several maps on the table before him. At the corner of the table, his tabak pouch weighed down a wrinkled piece of paper. The small square was weathered and folded from being carried in his inside coat pocket. "Well?" Rajabi asked. Thick of neck and determined of attitude, he was brown-eyed with a wide nose and a bulbous chin. He was completely bald now and faintly resembled a large boulder. He tended to act like a boulder, too. It could take a lot of work to get him rolling. But once you did, he was bloody hard to stop. He had been one of the first to join Itaralda's cause, for all the fact that he had been poised to rebel against the king just a short time before. It had been nearly 2 weeks since Itaralda's victory at Darluna. He'd extended himself far for that victory, perhaps too far. "Ah, Al-Salam," he thought. "I hope this was all worth it, old friend. I hope you haven't just gone mad. Rajabi might be a boulder, but the Shanchan are an avalanche, and we've brought them thundering down upon us."
"What now?" Rajabi prodded.
"We wait," Itaralda said. Light, but he hated waiting. "Then we fight, or maybe we run again. I haven't made up my mind yet."
"The Terrabanners
won't come," Itaralda said.
"They promised."
"They did." Itaralda had gone to them himself, had roused them, had asked them to fight the Shanchan just one more time. They'd yelled and cheered, but had not followed with any haste. They would drag their feet. He'd gotten them to fight one last time on half a dozen different occasions now. They could see where this war was going, and he could no longer depend on them, if he'd ever been able to in the first place.
"Bloody cowards," Rajabi muttered. "Light, burn them then. We'll do it alone. We have before."
Itaralda took a long, contemplative puff on his pipe. He'd chosen to finally use the Two Rivers tabak. This pipeful was the last in his store. He'd been saving it for months now. Good flavor, best there was. He studied his maps again, holding a smaller one up before him. He could use better maps, that was certain. "This new Shanchan general," Itaralda said, "is marshaling over 300,000 men with a good 200 Damani.
We've beat large forces before. Look what we did at Darluna. You crushed them, Rodal."
And doing so had required every bit of craftiness, skill, and luck Itaralda could muster. Even then, he'd lost well over half his men. Now he ran, limping, before this second, larger force of Shanchan. This time, they weren't making any mistakes. The Shanchan didn't rely solely on their Rakan. His men had intercepted several foot scouts, and that meant dozens hadn't been caught. This time the Shanchan knew Itaralda's true numbers and his true location. His enemies were done being herded and goaded. Instead, they hunted him, relentlessly, avoiding his traps. Itaralda had planned to retreat deeper and deeper into Arad Daman. That would favor his forces and stretch the Shanchan supply lines. He'd figured he could keep it up for another 4 or 5 months. But those plans were useless now. They'd been made before Itaralda had discovered there was an entire bloody army of Aiel running about Arad Daman. If the reports were to be believed, and reports about Aiel were often exaggerations, so he wasn't sure how much to believe, there were upwards of 100,000 of them holding large sections of the north, Bandar Eben included. 100,000 Aiel. That was as good as 200,000 Damani troops, perhaps more. Itaralda well remembered the blood snow 20 years ago, when it had seemed he'd lost 10 men for each Aiel who fell. He was trapped, a walnut crushed between 2 stones. The best he'd been able to do was retreat here, to this abandoned steading. That would give him an edge against the Seanchan, but only a small one. The Seanchan had a force 6 times the size of his own, and the greenest of commanders knew that fighting those odds was suicide. "Have you ever seen a master juggler, Rajabi?" Itaralda asked, studying the map. From the corner of his eye, Itaralda saw the bull-like man frown in confusion. "I've seen gleemen who..." "No, not a gleeman. A master." Rajabi shook his head. Itaralda puffed in thought before speaking. "I did once. He was the court bard of Camelon, spry fellow, with a wit that might better have belonged in a common room, for all the way he was decorated. Bards don't often juggle, but this fellow didn't mind the request. He liked juggling to please the young daughter heir, so I understand." He removed the pipe from his mouth, tapping down the tabak.
"Rodol," Rajabi said, "the Seanchan..."
Rodol held up a finger, situating his pipe before continuing. "The bard started by juggling 3 balls. Then he asked us if we thought he could do another. We cheered him on. He went to 4, then 5, then 6. With each ball he added, our applause grew greater, and he always asked if we thought he could do another. Of course, we said yes. 7, 8, 9. Soon he had 10 balls going in the air, flying in a pattern so complex that I couldn't track them. He had to strain to keep them going. He kept having to reach down and grab balls that he nearly missed. He was too lost in concentration to ask us if he should add another, but the crowd called for it. 11. Go for 11. And so his assistant tossed another ball into the mess. Itaralda puffed.
"He dropped them?" Rajabi asked.
Rodol shook his head. "That last ball wasn't actually a ball at all. It was some kind of illuminator's trick. Once it got halfway to the bard, it flashed and gave off a sudden burst of light and smoke. By the time our vision cleared, the bard was gone, and 10 balls were lined up on the floor. When I looked around, I found him sitting at one of the tables with the rest of the diners, drinking a cup of wine and flirting with Lord Findal's wife." Poor Rajabi looked completely dumbfounded. He liked his answers neat and straightforward. Itaralda usually felt the same way. But these days, with their unnaturally overcast skies and sense of perpetual gloom, made him philosophic. He reached out and took the worn folded sheet of paper off the table from beneath his tabak pouch. He handed it to Rajabi.
"Strike hard against the Seanchan," Rajabi read. "Push them away. Force them into their boats and back across their bloody ocean. I'm counting on you, old friend. King Al-Salam."
Rajabi lowered the letter.
"I know of his orders, Rodol. I didn't come into this because of him. I came because of you."
"Yes, but I fight because of him," Itaralda said. He was a king's man. He always would be. He stood up, tapping out his tabak and grinding the embers beneath the heel of his boot. He set the pipe aside and took the letter from Rajabi, then walked to the door. He needed to make a decision. Stay and fight, or flee for a worse location but gain a little more time. The shack groaned and wind shook the trees as Itaralda stepped outside into the overcast morning. The shed wasn't Ogier built, of course. It was too flimsy for that. This steading had been abandoned for a long time. His men camped amid the trees, hardly the best location for a war camp, but one made soup with the spices on hand. The steading was far too useful to pass up. Another man might have fled to a city and hidden behind its walls, but here in these trees the one power was useless. Negating the Seanchan Damani was better than walls, no matter how high. "We have to stay," Itaralda thought, watching his men work, digging in, erecting a palisade. He hated the thought of cutting down trees in a steading. He'd known a few ogier in his time, and respected them. These massive oaks probably held some lingering strength from the days when the ogier had lived here. Cutting them down was a crime, but you did what you had to. Running might gain him more time, but it might just as easily lose him time. He had a few days here before the Seanchan hit him. If he could dig in well, he might force them into a siege. The steading would make them hesitant, and the forests would work to the advantage of Iteralda's smaller force. He hated letting himself get pinned in. That was probably why he'd considered for so long, even though deep down he'd already known that it was time to stop running. The Seanchan had finally caught him. He continued along the ranks, nodding to working men, letting himself be seen. He had 40,000 troops left, which was a marvel considering the odds they had faced. These men should have deserted, but they'd seen him win impossible battle after impossible battle, tossing ball after ball into the air to greater and greater applause. They thought he was unstoppable. They didn't understand that when one tossed more balls into the air, it wasn't just the show that became more spectacular. The fall at the end grew more spectacular as well. He kept his dark thoughts to himself as he and Rajabi continued through the forested camp, inspecting the palisade. It was progressing nicely, the men setting thick tree trunks into freshly dug troughs. After his inspection, Iteralda nodded to himself. "We stay, Rajabi. Pass the word." "Some of the others say that staying here means dying for sure," Rajabi responded. "They're wrong," Iteralda said. "But..." "Nothing is sure, Rajabi," Iteralda said. "Fill these trees inside the palisade with archers. They'll be almost as effective as towers. We'll need to set up a killing field outside. Cut down as many trees around the palisade here as possible. Then set the logs inside as barriers, a second line of retreat. We'll hold strong. Perhaps I'm wrong about those Terrabonners, and they'll ride to aid us. Or maybe the king has a hidden army stashed away to defend us. Blood and ashes, maybe we'll fight them off here on our own. We'll see how much they like fighting without their Damani. We'll survive." Rajabi straightened visibly, growing confident. That was the kind of talk Iteralda knew he expected. Like the others, Rajabi trusted the little wolf. They didn't believe he could fail. Iteralda knew better. But if you're going to die, you did it with dignity. The young Iteralda had often dreamed of wars, of the glory of battle. The old Iteralda knew there was no such thing as glory to be had in battle. But there was honor.
"My lord Iteralda,"
a runner called, trotting along the inside of the unfinished palisade wall. He was a boy, young enough that the Seanchan would probably let him live. Otherwise, Iteralda would have sent the lad and those like him away. "Yes?" Iteralda asked, turning. Rajabi stood like a small mountain at his side.
"A man," the boy said, puffing. "The scouts caught him walking into the steading."
"Come to fight for us," Iteralda said.
It was not uncommon for an army to draw recruits. There were always those tempted by the lure of glory, or at least by the lure of steady meals.
"No, my lord," the boy said, puffing. "He says he's come to see you."
"Seanchan,"
Rajabi barked. The boy shook his head.
"No, but he's got nice clothes."
Some lord's messenger, then. Damani, or perhaps a Terrabonner renegade. Whoever he was, he could hardly make their situation worse. "And he came alone?"
"Yes, sir."
"Brave man."
"Bring him, then," Iteralda said.
"Where will you receive him, my lord?"
"What?" Iteralda snapped. "You think I'm some fancy merchant with a palace? The field here will do. Go get him. But take your time getting back, and make sure he's properly guarded."
The boy nodded and ran off. Iteralda waved over some soldiers and sent them running for Wakeda and the other officers. Shimron was dead, burned to char by Damani's fireball. Too bad, that. Itaralda would rather have kept him than many of the others. Most of the officers arrived before the stranger. Lanky Ankare, one-eyed Wakeda, who might otherwise have been a handsome man, squat Malarned, youthful Lydrin, who continued to follow Itaralda after his father's death.
"What is this I hear?" Wakeda asked, folding his arms as he strode up. "We're staying in this death trap? Rodal, we don't have the troops to resist. If they come, we'll be trapped here."
"You're right," Itaralda said simply. Wakeda turned to the others, then back to Itaralda, a little of his irritation deflated in the face of Itaralda's frank answer.
"Well, why don't we run, then?"
He blustered a lot less now than he had just months ago when Itaralda had first begun this campaign. "I won't give you sugar and lies," Itaralda said, looking at them each in turn. "We're in bad shape, but we'll be in a worse shape if we run. We've got no more holes to hide in. These trees will work to our advantage, and we can fortify. The steading will negate the Damani, and that alone is worth the price of staying. We fight here." Ankare nodded, seeming to understand the gravity of the situation.
"We have to trust him, Wakeda. He's led us right so far."
Wakeda nodded.
"I suppose."
Bloody fools. 4 months ago, half of them would have killed him on sight for staying loyal to the king. Now they thought he could do the impossible. It was a pity. He was beginning to think he could have brought them back to Al-Salama's loyalists. "All right," he said, pointing at various spots along their fortification. "Here's what we're going to do to shore up the weak points. I want..." He trailed off as he saw a group approaching through the clearing. The messenger boy, accompanied by a squad of soldiers escorting a man in red and gold. Something about the newcomer drew Itaralda's eyes. Perhaps it was the height. The young man was as tall as an Aiel, and fair of hair like them as well. But no Aiel dressed in a fine red coat with sharp golden embroidery. There was a sword at his side, and the way the newcomer walked made Itaralda think he knew how to use it. He strode with firm, determined steps, as if he thought the soldiers around him an honor guard. A lord, then, and one accustomed to command. Why had he come in person, rather than sending a messenger? The young lord stopped a short length in front of Itaralda and his generals, looking at each of them in turn, then focused on Itaralda.
"Rodil Itaralda?" he asked.
What accent was that? Andorin?
"Yes," Itaralda said cautiously.
The young man nodded.
"Bashir's description was accurate. You appear to be boxing yourself in here. Do you honestly expect to hold against the Shan Chan army? They are many times your size, and your Tereban allies do not appear eager to join you in your defense."
He had good intelligence, whoever he was.
"I am not in the habit of discussing my defenses with strangers."
Itaralda studied the young lord. He was fit, lean and hard, though it was difficult to tell with the coat on. He favored his right hand, and on closer inspection, Itaralda noticed that the left hand was missing. Both of his forearms had some kind of strange red and gold tattoo on them.
Those eyes. Those were eyes which had seen death a number of times. Not just a young lord, a young general.
Itaralda narrowed his eyes.
"Who are you?"
The stranger met his eyes.
"I am Randall Thor, the Dragon Reborn. And I need you. You and your army."
Several of those with Itaralda cursed, and Itaralda glanced at them. Wakeda was incredulous, Rajabi surprised, young Lydrin openly dismissive. Itaralda looked back at the newcomer. The Dragon Reborn? This youth? He supposed it could be possible. Most rumors agreed that the Dragon Reborn was a young man with red hair, but then rumors also claimed he was 10 feet tall, and still others said his eyes glowed in dim light. And then there were the stories of him appearing in the sky at Falma. Blood and ashes, Itaralda didn't know if he believed that the dragon had been reborn in the first place. I haven't time to argue, the stranger said, face impassive. He seemed older than he looked. He didn't appear to care that he was surrounded by armed soldiers. In fact, his coming alone, it should have seemed like such a foolish act. Instead, it made Eiteralda thoughtful. Only one such as the Dragon Reborn himself could stride into a war camp like this, completely alone, and expect to be obeyed. Burn him, if that fact by itself didn't make Eiteralda want to believe him. Either this man was who he claimed to be, or he was an utter lunatic. If we go outside the steading, I will prove I can channel, the stranger said. That should count for something. Give me leave, and I'll have 10,000 Aiel here, and several Aes Sedai, all of whom will swear to you that I am who I say. The rumors also said Aiel followed the Dragon Reborn. The men around Eiteralda coughed and glanced about uncomfortably. Many had been dragons sworn before coming to Eiteralda. With the right words, this Randel Thor, or whoever he was, might be able to turn Eiteralda's camp against itself. Even if we assume that I believe you, Eiteralda said carefully, I don't see that it matters. I have a war to fight. You have other business to concern you, I assume. You are my concern, Althor said, eyes so hard that they seemed ready to burrow into Eiteralda's skull and search about inside for anything of use. You must make peace with the Seanchan. This war gains us nothing. I want you up on the Borderlands. I can't spare men to guard the Blight, and the Borderlanders themselves have abandoned their duties. I have orders, Eiteralda said, shaking his head. Wait, he wouldn't do as this youth asked if he didn't have orders. Except those eyes. El Salam had had eyes like that when they were both younger. Eyes that demanded obedience. Your orders, Althor said. They are from the king. That is why you throw yourselves against the Seanchan as you do. Eiteralda nodded. I've heard of you, Rodol Eiteralda, Althor said. Men I trust, men I respect, trust and respect you. Rather than fleeing and hiding, you hunker down here to fight a battle you know will kill you. All because of your loyalty to your king. I commend that. But it is time to turn away and fight a battle that means something. One that means everything. Come with me and I'll give you the throne of Arad-Daman. Eiteralda stood up sharply, alert. After commending my loyalty, you expect me to unseat my own king? Your king is dead, Althor said. Either that or his mind has been melted like wax. More and more I think Grendel has him. I see her touch on the chaos in this land. Whatever orders you have likely came from her. Why she wants you fighting the Seanchan, I haven't yet been able to determine. Eiteralda snorted. You speak of one of the Forsaken as if you've had her as a dinner guest. Althor met his eyes again. I remember each of them. Their faces, their mannerisms, the way they speak and act, as if I've known them for 1,000 years. I remember them better than I remember my own childhood sometimes. I am the Dragon Reborn. Eiteralda blinked. Burn me, he thought. I believe him. Bloody ashes. Let's see this proof of yours. There were objections, of course, mostly from Lydrin, who thought it too dangerous. The others were shaken. Here was the man they'd sworn themselves to without ever meeting him. There seemed to be a force about Althor, drawing Eiteralda in, demanding that he do as asked. Well, he'd see the proof first. They sent runners for horses to ride out of the steading, but Althor spoke as if Eiteralda was his man already. Perhaps Al-Salam lives, Althor said as they waited. If so, I can see that you would not want his throne. Would you like Amadisia? I will need someone to rule there and keep an eye on the Seanchan. The White Cloaks fight there now. I'm not sure if I'll be able to stop that conflict before the last battle. The last battle,
light.
I won't take it if you kill the king there, Iteralda said. If the White Cloaks have already killed him, or if the Seanchan have, then perhaps.
King? What was he saying?
Burn you, he thought to himself. At least wait until the proof is given before agreeing to accept thrones.
There was a way about this man, the way he discussed events like the last battle, events that mankind had been fearing for thousands of years, as if they were items on the daily camp report. Soldiers arrived with their horses, and Iteralda mounted, as did Althor, Wakeda, Rajabi, Ankare, Malarnid, Lidrin, and half a dozen lesser officers.
I've brought a large number of Aiel into your lands, Randall Thor said as they began to ride. I had hoped to use them to restore order, but they are taking longer than I'd wished. I'm planning to secure the members of the Merchant Council. Perhaps once I have them in hand, I'll be able to improve the stability of the area. What do you think?
Iteralda didn't know what to think. Securing the Merchant Council? That sounded like kidnapping them. What had Iteralda gotten himself into?
It could work, he found himself saying. Light is probably the best plan, all things considered.
Althor nodded, looking forward as they passed out of the palisade and moved out along a trail toward the edge of the steading.
I'll have to secure the borderlands anyway. I will care for your homeland. Burn those borderlanders. What are they up to?
No, not yet.
They can wait.
No, he'll do. He can hold it. I'll send him with Ashaman.
Suddenly, Althor turned to Iteralda.
What could you do if I gave you 100 men who could channel?
Madmen?
No, most of them are stable, Althor said, taking no apparent offense. Whatever madness they incurred before I cleansed the taint is still there. Removing the taint didn't heal them. But few of them were far gone. And they won't get worse, now that Saidin is clean.
Saidin? Clean?
If Iteralda had his own men who could channel, his own Dumani, in a way. Iteralda scratched his chin. It was coming at him quickly, but then a general had to be able to react quickly.
I could use them well, he said. Very well.
Good, Althor said.
They had left the steading. The air felt different.
You've got a lot of land to watch, but many of the channelers I'll give you can spin gateways.
Gateways? Iteralda asked.
Althor glanced at him, then seemed to grit his teeth, closing his eyes, shaking as if nauseated. Iteralda sat upright, suddenly alert, hand on his sword.
Poison? Was the man wounded?
But no, Althor opened his eyes, and there seemed to be a look of ecstasy in those depths. He turned, waving a hand, and a line of light split the air in front of him. Men around Iteralda cursed, backing up. It was one thing for a man to claim he could channel. It was another to see him do so in front of you.
That's the gateway, Althor said as the line of light turned around, opening a large black hole in the air.
Depending on the Ashaman's strength, a gateway can be made wide enough to drive wagons through. You can travel nearly anywhere with speed, sometimes instantly, depending on circumstances. With a few trained Ashaman, your army could dine in Camelin in the morning, then have lunch in Tanchico a few hours later.
Iteralda rubbed his chin.
Well now, that's a thing to see. A thing to see indeed.
If this man spoke truthfully, and these gateways really did work.
With this I could clear the Seanchan out of Terrabon, and maybe off the land entirely.
No, Althor snapped. We make peace with them. From what my scouts say, it's going to be hard enough to bring them to agreement without promising them your head. I won't rile them further. There is no time for squabbling. We have more important matters to be about.
Nothing is more important than my homeland, Iteralda said. Even if those orders are forged, I know Al-Salam. He would agree with me. We won't stand for foreign troops on the soil of Arad Doman.
A promise, then, Althor said. I will see the Shuan Chan out of Arad Doman. I promise you this. But we don't fight them away any further than that. In exchange, you go to the Borderlands and protect against an invasion there. Hold back the Trollocs if they come, and lend me some of your officers to help secure Arad Doman. It will be easier to restore order if the people see that their own lords are working with me. Itaralda considered, though he knew already what his answer would be. That gateway could spirit his men away from this death trap. With Aiel on his side, with the dragon reborn as an ally, he really did have a chance of keeping Arad Doman secure. An honorable death was a good thing, but the ability to keep on fighting with honor, that was a prize far more precious.
Agreed, Itaralda said, holding out a hand.
Althor took it. Go break camp. You'll be in Saldea by nightfall.